start with halacha, which we discussed before, and I left it hanging last time with as a question. This was the an issue. If you recall correctly, I think this was the halacha shir before Rosh Hashanah. We spoke about the idea of making lists for menus, right?
Oh boy!
That ended up being like quite a shocking discussion over there. I actually saw a solution, which I think is valid halachically. So again, so the issue is there is a halacha. Chazal came along and said that a person can't write up a list of the different types of foods that are going to be serving by the meals and a list of the names that people are going to be coming, because we're afraid that the person might come along and erase either one of the names or one of the foods. Well, I don't need that food anymore because etc. So that's a concern that we have. So we did say somebody else can read it for you. So if you have a guest who comes in and say, what am I serving today? What's next? They can read it for you, but you yourself can't read it. A husband can't read it. Either any person who has the right to erase can't read. This person suggested, instead of doing it as a list, doing it as cards. Putting one item on each card. So you do it as cards, and there's one item on each card. So if you want to take out an item, you just take out the whole card. You don't have to erase anything. So the issue was making a list. This is not a list, because there's only one item in each page. And that would be a valid option to do. So you could do that. And that would be valid to do. Okay. Some resolution of the old issues. And there was one suggestion. Somebody said, "What about making pictures?" And they found the Mishnah Berurah would seem to support that. It's a misreading of the Mishnah Berurah, and even if you want to draw pictures of a chicken, that's not going to help you. If it was exaggerated, you might come to erase your picture of your chicken. So, if you heard that solution of pictures running around, that's not a solution either. Okay. What I want to go through tonight is some of the, let's say, going through making, I think the most common, we mentioned last time we spoke about the Hilchos Yom Tov. One of the times we talk about that, you know, cooking is not such a common issue on Yom Tov. We don't do so much cooking on Yom Tov. Cholent is most of our cooking. Mostly we're heating things up for the most part. Maybe make a brand new soup or something like that. You ran out of chicken, you'll stick an extra piece of chicken in there. But that's not the most common issue. But what's more common is the areas of making a salad, those type of things, which are going to be coming up. A person's going to be making a salad on Yom Tov, etc. What are the issues you have to be worried about and be aware of on Yom Tov, as opposed to, let's say, on Shabbos, the differences between Yom Tov and Shabbos? So we know that on Yom Tov, there's a heter of Ochel Nefesh, that whereas on Shabbos, a person, there's a limitation of all of the lamatas and lavatas. Those lamatas malachas, when it comes to Yom Tov, so some of them are going to be mutter, the malachas which are involved in ochel nefesh in the in food preparation. Ochel nefesh has limitations, and that's an important thing we have to remember. The ochel nefesh has limitations. One of the limitations is that there is only certain malachas which are normally done for long periods of time. So I can't go out there and grind flour on Yom Tov. I can't, you know, not grind flour, grind wheat into flour. I can't make flour on Yom Tov. I can't pull an apple off of the tree on Yom Tov. Well, it's Echol Nefesh, I want to eat the apple. But since the idea of harvesting is something which is normally done a large amount at one time, your person would harvest the field, so the malacha of Kaitzer is a malacha which is normally done not as part of your act of eating. I want to eat something, they didn't have refrigeration, so you want to eat bread. So you would go on that morning, not on Yom Tov, I'd make bread. So I wouldn't go out to the field and harvest the wheat. I wouldn't go to the miller and grind the grain. I would start, I have flour, and I would make a dough, and I would bake it. So making a dough and baking it is part of the normal process of when I want to sit down and eat. That's part of your normal process. Harvesting is not part of your normal process. Grinding is not part of your normal process. So the malach of dosh, threshing, is also not part of your normal process. Well, that's important because schita, which is the act of squeezing out liquids from fruits, etc., is a tolda of dosh. And dosh is one of the malachas which is earlier in the process. It's not part of the act of eating process. So making sense? Good? Okay. So we'll see some applications of that. What I am going to do is give you some contrast between, let's say, the Shabbos and the Yom Tov part of it, so we'll get a clear picture how Shabbos is different than Yom Tov. for no argument's sake, why we're choosing this point. Let's start with the malacha of tochein. So one of the areas which we have of tochein. So tochein is an interesting malacha because tochein and yom tif was done grinding something and milling something is something which is done for long periods of time. So anything which is going to be a tochein which goes under that type of category will be prohibited on yom tif. At the same time, there's also teichin, which is done. A person would grind up some spices in their house, in their little mortar and pestle. They grind it up to use to put into their food. They wouldn't do that earlier because it would lose its potency. Its strength would be, you know, you grind up your spices 2 days beforehand. They're not going to be, your pepper is not going to be so strong. So they would do it right beforehand. So if you do it in that type of action, which is normally done as part of the eating process, and it's clearly a different type of teichin, it's going to be mutter. You start doing a tochen which approximates the tochen of going out there and grinding in the millstone, or I'm the miller and I live in my big millstone. You know what? You know, I need a little bit of some spices. I can't grind in my big millstone because that's part of the regular. That would be part of look too much like the regular process of tochen. So tochen is interesting. Look, it has both elements to it. Okay, on Shabbos. And on Yom Tov, there's a heter of teichin that teichin doesn't apply to items which it only applies to items which grow in the ground. So if I want to take an egg and mash an egg, I can mash an egg on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. The person wants to not talking about adding anything to it, just about mashing an egg. I want to take my egg and mash it. I can mash an egg on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's not a problem. Same thing with meat. The person wants to chop meat up fine, etc. That's mutter. Now, what we do say on Shabbos is that there's a limitation that if you use a type of a kli which is made specifically for the purpose of grinding, etc., you can't do that even by meat, etc. You can't use a meat grinder, a hand meat grinder. You can't use it on Shabbos because it's a weekday type of an action, and we don't want you doing that on Shabbos. But that's a drabonah. An egg slicer, if you have, you only want to cut your eggs, those egg slicers, or Moshe says that's mutter even on Shabbos. So,
why? Especially made for grinding eggs.
I guess what Moshe holds, even though it comes out in thin slices, he held that was not made for the, it wasn't enough of an action of grinding that he held as a problem. It's a Moshe's Kiddush. Something which is ground already. Something which is a person, so it's made into flour already. You have a cake. You want to crumble up a cake. You want to crumble matzah. It's been, you had wheat, made it into flour, you baked it, you made your matzah, now you want to crumble again. Ain't teichin achat teichin, there's no halacha of teichin a second time. That's true on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. That applies to both of them equally. There is a discussion by Shabbos, which is not relevant to Yom Tov. Is there any? So, the malach of teichin, the paradigm of teichin, is going to be grinding something. A person wants to cut something into very fine pieces. So that's also usher because of teichin. That applies. So a person wants to make an Israeli salad. So he wants to chop up on Shabbos. He wants to chop up his cucumbers and his everything like that. You know, very fine pieces. He's going to have a problem of the malach of tochein. So it says over there on Shabbos, what you should do is you should make them into larger pieces than usual. The problem is, the Shulchan Aruch says, I don't know what larger means. The Shulchan Aruch himself says, I don't know what larger means. So that of course, it's going to be somewhat subjective. I said, well, do it larger than you normally do. Doesn't mean anything, because each person, you know, one person does it smaller, one does it larger. What is that's not a very clear definition. So it's not a very clear definition. They said you should make sure that clearly that it's simply larger than usual. If you want to make a salad like that on Yom Tov, there is a heter on Shabbos called Samach Lasuda.
Don't tell
the chairs. We had a problem before we got locked in.
We got locked
in.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. So there's a heter on Shabbos of Samach Lasuda. Samach Lasuda is the same way by the malach of Borer. if it's done immediately prior to the meal, it's part of the meal, it's permitted. So there's a Rashba which says that it applies to the Malach of Tochen also. The Ramah says he's not sure 100% should rely on this. He said, but we don't rely on that alone. But a situation where it's necessary, you need to cut up something very fine. So if I try and do it a little bit larger than usual, I do it some of Lasuda, we combine the two together, and that's Mutter. Let's say a person can't eat without it, and the only solution is going to be relying on that opinion. We rely on that opinion. So that's on Shabbos. When it comes to Yom Tov, so we're going to add in the following principles. We're going to say Tochen is mutter on Yom Tov. This type of Tochen is mutter on Yom Tov. We're going to qualify it in the following way. The Gemara learns it out based on Pesukim that the Pesuk says. Anything which is achal nefesh, you can do. But it says the word ach. But, and we know the word but always means it's limiting something. It's saying not this. So the Gemara says, okay, means that we differentiate between something which you could have done before Yom Tov and something which you can't really do before Yom Tov. So how do we differentiate something? Something which the quality of the food will deteriorate if I do it before Yom Tov. So I cannot do it before Yom Tov. That goes into the heter echol nefesh. I can do it on Yom Tov. Something which, however, the quality of the food will not deteriorate, right? If I do it beforehand, then the heter doesn't apply. I should do it before Yom Tov. I should not do it on Yom Tov. And then, of course, there's going to be something which is going to be in the middle, which it deteriorates, but not significantly. You know, it's not such a major difference. So, assuming that it's something which doesn't grow on Yom Tov, something which does not grow into something which does not grow out of the ground, you're going to have, I want to grind eggs, I want to mash up eggs, I want to grind cheese, I want to take out a grater and grate cheese. I can do that on Yom Tov. I can do that on Yom Tov. If I want to use, there are some places, if I want to use a kli which is miyuchad for the purpose of grinding, like a grinder, a hand grinder, I have to do a shinui. I can use that, but I have to do a shinui. So something which doesn't grow out of the ground, your eggs, your meat, your fish, cheese, so I could do that. What's considered a shinui? Normally you grind into a bowl, so I put a piece of paper down on the table and I grind onto the piece of paper. So that's enough of a shinui. Okay, but that's it. It didn't grow up. But something which grows on the ground, and I want to mash it, grind it. We assume mashing is the same thing as grinding. I want to do that on Yom Tov. So something which will clearly deteriorate from doing it before Yom Tov, doing it on Yom Tov. So then I do not need to do any shinning at all. I could do it even with a large knife, which is made for the purpose of chopping. I can do it even with a grater. I can take the tines of a fork. I can go and mash a banana on Yom Tov. I could go and chop up an onion very fine on Yom Tov without any limitations. I want to cut up a salad. I want a fresh salad. I want to cut up the salad, even to small pieces. So I want to chop up the onions very fine. No problem on Yom Tov. That's something which we assume that there'll be a strong deterioration. Something which will not deteriorate at all. Nuts, person, you want to chop up nuts, walnuts, almonds. The difference between chopping them up with Erev Yom Tov, jamming them up in Yom Tov, there's no real change in the flavor between the two of them. So a person should do that before Yom Tov. If a person did not do it before Yom Tov, then you can do it with a shinui on Yom Tov. So again, the shinui would be, you would do it on a piece of paper on the plate, you'd put it onto a piece of paper. Okay, that's something which would not deteriorate, there would be no deterioration in flavor, etc. Something which would go down in flavor, not a tremendous amount, there would be impact, but not total loss of flavor. Person wants to do, let's say, pepper, something like that. You know, pepper's still pretty strong the next day. It's not as strong as freshly ground pepper, but it's still strong the next day. It's not like, you know, you end up with something like onions that they lose a tremendous amount of the flavor. You can do it on Yom Tov, you should do it with a shinui. Yes?
So, I'm just thinking about, let's say I want to make sushi, and normally you cut it into very thin slices for Shabbos or Yom Tov or whatever it is. And
it's meaning the fish?
Meaning the cucumber and pepper and whatever, to very, very thin slices. But you can't, I mean, I guess you could do it, you can't really easily do it immediately before because it's supposed to sit for a little bit so that the sushi roll actually sets. So, like, can I do it before I go to shul? Are slices considered tochein?
There is an opinion in halacha which we are concerned about, that very thin slices is considered tochein also. Even though it's not small pieces, but it's very thin slices. There's a Rashi which holds like that. And the Poskim are concerned about that.
So then I can't do it before I go to shul.
You're talking on Shabbos.
Yeah. I'm making sushi, I roll it, and then I go to shul and come back.
You know what? I don't know. I want to hold on that question. So I owe you one, okay?
But on Yom Tov, is there an issue of having, of being able to, there's no, is, there shouldn't be an issue of doing it earlier.
There's no time issue on Yom Tov, right?
Okay.
As long as it's the same day. Right. Okay. Okay, now let's say a person wants to grind coffee. So the person would get a little bit nervous about grinding coffee, because grinding coffee, the coffee grinder which we use, a person has a home grinder, etc., is not that different than the large grinder that they use to grind coffee, which that would be done for longer periods of time. So it's preferred, or Moshe, the person says it's preferred that you shouldn't use, get involved in grinding coffee, a hand grinder on Yom Tov. I mean, obviously, electric grinder, we're not talking about anyway. So a person should not be, you know, any coffee, a person wants fresh coffee, you'll grind it before Yom Tov. Something like grain, so that's something which the Poskim, interesting, they list, I don't know, my grain always is this kalka legamrin. I know the flavor from the grain from before Yom Tov to Yom Tov goes down significantly, but the Poskim listed as one of the things which they assume that the kilko is not, it's a kilko, but it's not significant. It deteriorates, but not significantly. If you want to do it on Yom Tov, you have to do it with a shinui. So you do it with a shinui, again, the piece of paper is a valid shinui. Okay. That, I think, covers teichen. Okay. There's a malacha which is a derivative of the malacha of ma'abed. One of the malachas in the Lamed Tes malachas is ma'abed, which is tanning. Tanning is the idea of taking out, it's preserving. You preserve it normally either by taking out the oils and the liquid there, which are going to cause it to deteriorate, or you put something else in there which is going to help it be preserved and last. So, salting something, which is the process of taking out liquid, or soaking something in a brine, which a vinegar or a salt, which therefore helps it last for a long time, pickling it and salting it, marinating it, all these things are things which go under the isser of kovesh, of marinating. On Shabbos, there is an isser of kovesh. So anything which salt makes a big difference in, so the Chazal were concerned about either because it softens it or it hardens it, or it makes it sweeter, takes away the bitterness. Anything which salt will impact the food significantly. So a person wants to salt cucumbers, there are limitations in halacha what you're allowed to do on Shabbos when it comes to salting. So a person wants to take radishes, cucumbers, etc., and you want to salt them. So the halacha is that you cannot do that unless you're eating. It's not part of the eating process, which means you salt one at a time and you eat them. You can't salt them all, put it on a plate and eat them. You have to do one at a time. Person wants to make a salt salad. Person wants to add salt to a salad. You have to add another liquid. You have to add a liquid to the salad to break the power of the salt. So you should put it in beforehand. You should put the water or the oil into the salad beforehand. You're not going to usually have water, but let's say a dressing oil. Or an oil into the salad beforehand. So therefore, when you add the salt afterwards, it's not going to impact it as such. Some persons say if you add it immediately afterwards, it's also okay, but it's preferred to add the oil beforehand. Again, this is on Shabbos. What about adding vinegar? So vinegar is interesting. Certain vegetables, vinegar is used to brine them. So any vegetable which it's normal to make them into pickles and pickle them, etc., vinegar is not an option of how to break the power of your soul. By using vinegar, it's like out of the frying pan into the fire. But a type of a food which you don't normally use vinegar for, let's say, you know, you pickle tomatoes. It's only a certain type of tomato which they pickle. Most tomatoes, you're not really going to, you know, take a nice, your normal average tomato you get in the store, you're not pickling. They have a certain type of pickles, tomatoes that they use for pickling. So the average, if you have a salad, which is a tomato salad, you want to add some vinegar, that's fine. But if I have something, if I have a cucumber, and I want to make a cucumber salad and add vinegar to it, I'm going to have an issue because cucumbers are marinated with vinegar. On Yom Tov, a type of a salad which you marinate. Now, the marinated salads taste better the longer they sit. I mean, within range, you know, within reason, right? Say, if you make a salad immediately, it doesn't really absorb the flavor yet. You may make it a day or two before, the day beforehand, and you serve it the next day, it tastes better. So that's something which, it's better to do it before Yom Tov than do it on Yom Tov. So you can't do it on Yom Tov, because it's something which, it's an Echol Nefesh element, which is better done beforehand. So that type of an item, which would normally be done before Yom Tov, be done better, it'll only be mutter if you do it, the only way to do it is to do it with a shinui. If you forgot to do it beforehand, so you have to do it with a shinui on Yom Tov. If you want to do it with a shinui, you change the order of the items. So normally you put the vegetables into the bowl first, then you add the liquid, put the liquid and then add the vegetables into the liquid. Otherwise you can't do that on Yom Tov. Salting on Yom Tov. So strong salting we say that it's better not to get involved in it. But light salting is going to be permitted on Yom Tov, different than on Shabbos. Even light salting is an issue. Light salting is permitted on Yom Tov. Okay. And again, involved in all the details about salting on Shabbos, but we'll leave that. Okay.
So not a lot to add to it. Like, what about people that just really like being salted? Like, having nothing to do with pickling or anything else, they just like to add, you know, gobs of salt to their soup.
Salt into soup is fine, because it's not really, you can't really envision it as, there's liquid there, you can't really envision it as a pickling process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess theoretically, or whatever, and they just want to add a ton of salt to their pasta salad or whatever. Saying, like, there are people that just like things really salty.
See, if it's part of the chila process, it's mutter. And I guess if you take a big bowl and salt it first and then serve it out, you might have it. Might be an issue theoretically.
Excuse me, I just wanted to be clearer. So if I make my salads before, like a corn salad, whatever, so
before Yom Tov,
Shabbos or before Yom Tov,
right?
And I have the dressings all ready to go, but they really need to be mixed like an hour or so, or right before I serve it. So you're saying you're not allowed to do that. It's better to do it before Yom Tov starts.
Well, depends what type of most. I mean,
like tomato salad, a corn salad.
I said, but what are you adding in?
Just the dressing that's already been mixed.
What's your dressing?
It's like oil and vinegar.
The oil and vinegar is not going to be a problem. I'm saying, but you know, if you want to, like a cucumber salad, would you want to put vinegar in? That's going to be a problem.
No, yeah, but by definition, wouldn't it only be like a marinade if you're doing it like you want it to sit in it? Like, let's say you have a cucumber salad that really is not supposed to sit in it because it wilts and whatever else. Then would it be considered a marinating thing? You don't want to put it in 2 hours before Shabbos, or 2 hours before before you go to shul. If you wanted to, then you would do it then. But if you're choosing to do it later, then is it considered a marinade?
You know what? You lost me in the world of the culinary world of the kitchen. I'm not sure what you mean. What were you putting in it?
Meaning, if you're marinating, meaning it should sit there and soak in the flavors. If you're purposefully not putting on the dressing before you go to shul or whatever it is, you know, the day before, you're purposefully
same thing, if you have a cucumber salad with cucumbers and onions and vinegar, why would it sit for days?
It could be a dressing that it could be a sweet dressing that shouldn't soak in. I don't know. I'm just
the sweet dressing wouldn't have the pickling process. Right, yeah. Right, so
sweet can also have vinegar in it, though.
If there's a lot of other elements there, it's the same thing as adding oils, which cuts the power of the vinegar.
Okay. So the vinegar you cannot put in? If it's already mixed with vinegar and oil, it's okay? Or are you saying it's not?
If it's mixed already, it's mixed already. That's not a problem.
But if you want to do it on Yom Tov, you cannot put the vinegar
again, something which is normal to preserve.
Right.
I mean, you know, most, I don't think, corns, you don't usually buy pickled corn. I say, you know, it's more, you know, it's more like an issue of cucumbers is really the only place you have an issue. And a cucumber salad, it tastes better when it sits a day. It does. So you want to do it on Yom Tov, you have to do it with a shinui. Yeah.
I personally make tossed salad all the time, for Shabbos. And I don't measure, I just, everything I eyeball, a little salt, little oil, little vinegar,
right.
And I mix it together, and
right.
I serve it, maybe 3 minutes before the meal. The last minute.
Right.
I even dress it right before I serve it.
Right.
So normally it has cucumbers and tomatoes and lettuce and,
right.
and so now according to you, you're just saying if I add the oil first before I add the vinegar, that would be fine, right? Because
right.
it's not just cucumber; it's tossed salad. It's right.
everything so the, in okay, it. The lettuce is obviously doesn't apply to nobody's. Salted
right.
lettuce, you end up with no
but
lettuce.
But I also have cucumbers in it too, like cucumber salad, tomatoes. But the mostly, the cucumbers is not the large part of that salad. It's another little.
I'm not sure, it's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd still be an issue. Even though it's a part of something else, I think it'd still be an issue. I'm not sure it means there's one or two cucumbers. If you have a significant presence of cucumbers, I think it would be an issue.
Normally it's I put half a cucumber and a tomato and a big.
So I don't think that's such an issue.
Yeah.
It's more like an issue of the person, putting out radishes or putting out cucumbers to eat and you're salting them. And
the big thing, the ichor.
Right, that I think is more of an issue. Okay. Okay, the Malacha of Borer. So Borer obviously has tremendous applications on Shabbos.
Can I ask one other question? Actually?
Yes.
There are some people who, I know it sounds gross, but they'll take watermelon and they'll salt watermelon. Have you guys ever heard of that? Yeah, you put salt, or sour salt. Sometimes you'll put sour salt so that it tastes like the candy with the sour and the sweet and the whatever. That's not something you normally pickle. Would you be allowed to do that as you eat it? Before you eat it.
No, but see, even though normally pickling is an issue when you're talking about vinegar. Now we're talking about salt.
But salt just enhances the flavor and then you're not allowed to.
Right. So the point is, if you'd salt each piece as
you eat it.
Eat it, that's fine.
Okay.
So Barer is one of the malachas which is mutter on Yom Tov, as long as you're not getting involved in using your. A sieve or a sifter, those type of things which you would be using for flour, etc., which is not going to be mutter. So you're not using those type of utensils. So sifting flour is not mutter on Yom Tov. A person wants to. There's some. Nowadays we don't sift flour to sift flour. Some people sift flour just to give it a little more lightness, right? So. You could do that. You do it with a shinui. So that's a little bit upside down way of doing it. With a shinui, you put the sifter upside down. You pour it back through the other way. It's a little bit harder, but okay. It makes a big mess. Put something down underneath to catch all of the flour, which falls off to the side. But in general, we do not use a sifter. We do not use those type of things on Yom Tov. Okay. Now. If a person would be doing a situation of now, there's two types of there's no malach of barer on Yom Tov. The Isser Bel doesn't apply in this type in the average case. So what should you do? I have a mixture of two items. One's good, one's bad. One's what I want, what I don't want. So instead of saying you take the good from the bad for immediate use by hand. I take the one which is easier to do. The rule is, I'm a ma'id b'tircha. I do the easier one of the two. So if it's easier to take the good from the bad, I take the good from the bad. If there's less bad than good, it's easier to take the bad out of the good, I take the bad out of the good. So whatever is easier to do, that's what I do. Chazal said, they made a new rule on Yom Tov. Forget about the rules of Shabbos, of Berur. The rule over here is try and make it as easy as possible. If I have something which I can be buried before Yom Tov, and it will not impact its flavor. So then I have a chiyuv to do that bur before Yom Tov. I have to give it to the bur for Yom Tov. If a person didn't do it before Yom Tov, so if a person, let's say, forgot about it, or didn't realize they needed to, that they're planning to serve that, or they didn't have enough time, so then you'd be allowed to do it on Yom Tov. If a person was aware of it and said, yeah, I'll do it later, you know, that type of, you know, and then realized all of a sudden Yom Tov comes, you know, and there's no later anymore, so you should have done it before Yom Tov. So you can't, the only way you can do it on Yom Tov is with a shinui. Now, that's not always necessarily possible to do it with a shinui. If you can figure out a way to do it with a shinui, you can do it with a shinui. Peeling is also a form of borer on Shabbos. Taking off a peel is a form of borer on Shabbos. It's a interesting element of borer on Shabbos, that the peeling, even when you're taking the bad from the good, if you do it for immediate use, by hand meaning a knife, it's mutter. So a person wants to take an apple, okay, maybe apple's not such a good example, because apples, the peel is pretty much edible. The person wants to take something which, let's say, peeling an orange, if a person wants to peel an orange, so peeling an orange is a form of burr. You're taking off the peel, which is not edible, from the orange, which is edible. It's mutter to do it for immediate use on Shabbos. On Shabbos, a person wants to peel an orange, he's allowed to do that, or she's allowed to do that. If you want to, but it's only mutter, it has to meet the criteria for immediate use, and by hand. Person wants to peel, let's say, a cucumber, let's say, I don't know, most people don't eat the peels of cucumbers, I don't know what they do, they don't. Let's say a person would want to peel a cucumber, so I can do it for immediate use, and with a knife. I can't use a peeler on Shabbos, I can't use a peeler. If I want to do the act of being peeling off a cucumber on Shabbos, I cannot do it with a peeler. On Yom Tov, so I'm allowed to do it because bara doesn't apply. So I'm allowed to do it. I don't need it for immediate use. It has to be done for sometime that day. I can't do it for tomorrow, but I can do it sometime today for later on. I can do it 9 o'clock in the morning for my first shalshuris. That's fine. There's no requirement for immediate use. You're allowed to use a peeler. You're allowed to use a peeler. Not an electric one, obviously, right? You're allowed to use a peeler. Now, if you're talking about a type of an item which, if you peel it before Yom Tov, it would not impact its flavor, so then again, you'd be mechuyav to do it before Yom Tov and not wait to do it until on Yom Tov. Most situations of peeling, I would assume, most things, the taking the peel off earlier, it's going to dry out, it's going to impact the flavor, therefore there'll be no limitation, you're allowed to do it regularly. If you have something which you did, the flavor is not impacted, and you didn't do it before Yom Tov, you'd have to do it with a shinui.
What would that be besides, what would be considered?
A practical shinui for peeling.
Practical thing of that immediate, you could do it before and it wouldn't impact the flavor. I guess nuts, but...
What types of food? That, I don't know. That you have to ask. You have to ask my wife. Okay. that part of
I want to ask you. Like you said, you're not allowed to use the peeler
on Shabbos.
On Shabbos. So I mean, I would assume that peeler and the knife perform the same thing. You're still removing the good from the bad, or say, well, why is the knife but not
It's a good question.
Even though it's performing the same thing, you're doing the same malacha.
Right. So it's
different tools.
Right. Exactly. So once it's a kli which is made specifically for that purpose, so that would transfer from, as opposed to, burr on Shabbos. Why? That's a fair question. Burr on Shabbos. What exactly is the logic behind the heter of it for immediate use, good from the bad, and by hand as opposed to with a kli? What's the logic behind it? So the logic behind it is like this. In the process of eating, actual eating, we select good, we have something in my mouth I don't like, I spit it out. That's part of the eating process. So what halacha has classified that the malacha of borer is preparing something to put it away, as opposed to preparing something to be part of the eating process. So I'm doing it for immediate use, that's part of the eating process. By definition, if it's part of the eating process, it has to be, I'm using it now. If I do it for 5 hours, now it's not part of the eating process. Right? When I eat, I don't take the bad from the good, I take what I want. So I have to take from the good from the bad. And as part of my eating process, I'm using the utensils which the Baruch Hu gave me, I'm putting it into my mouth, that's part of the eating process. Kemal Allah says, you know, we're going to extend it a little bit. So it doesn't have to be immediately into your mouth. It can be the beginning of the meal. So as long as it's part of the meal, that's also considered part of the eating process. Okay, it doesn't have to be with your hands. It could be with a fork, because a fork is just a more efficient way to pick up something. But I can really do it with my hands, but it's a little more efficient with a fork. Something I can't do with my hands, so it's not a question, it's a more efficient way of doing it, that's a problem. That came along the Morris says that if I use a kli which is specifically made for the purpose of preparing foods, not eating them, i.e. a sifter or a peeler, etc., so that becomes the paradigm of not a chila process. That becomes a paradigm of something else. So if I use a peeler which is made for, okay, begin the meal, or you know, begin the day, I take and I make short shrift of five cucumbers, etc., with my peeler. So that it's really made for the purpose not to be a chila. It's made. Whereas a knife is, you know, I can scrape it off with my fingernails, so I use a knife, it's a little bit easier. So that's how we understand the difference in halacha. The Mishnah Berurah says interesting. Okay, I want to take a calendar out the strain. I made some. You know, the kids. You know, all my beautiful Yom Tov meals. The kid says they want lakshan. Okay, so I'm going to cook lakshan on Yom Tov. I'll cook lakshan on Yom Tov. Why not? The kids want to have pasta, their macaroni, whatever it is. Everything. So I'm allowed to make pasta on Yom Tov. I want to strain the pasta with the calendar. That's mutter. I'm allowed to use the calendar to strain the pasta on Yom Tov. The proverbial fly in the soup, okay? Fly in the cup. So on Shabbat, there's a melacha of borer. There's melacha of borer involved in that. What about on Yom Tov? Do I have to, you know, be careful with the melacha of borer when I take the fly out of the cup? The Shabbat says, you should be machmer, that we deal with, at this point, we deal with Shabbos as the same as Yom Tov. And therefore, you should be machmer not to, you should, the same way on Shabbos, when you take it out, you should take it out with some of the liquid. So on Yom Tov also, you would take it out, you take it out with some of the liquid. I said on Yom Tov, just like Shabbos. Yeah.
Not Shabbos.
Shabbos also, you would take it out of the fly.
No,
not the calendar. Oh, yeah. Okay, the calendar. Fine. Schita. So schita is one of the malachas which the malachas says is usher to do on Yom Tov. So schita, I can't go and squeeze on Yom Tov, the same way I can't squeeze on Shabbos. So, but the hedgers would apply on Shabbos, would apply on Yom Tov also. If I want to squeeze a lemon onto a fish, so that the purpose of the squeezing the lemon liquid goes directly into the fish, that's mutter on Shabbos, that's mutter on Yom Tov. There is some kulas in regards to Yom Tov over Shabbos. I'll give you two examples which still apply for Shabbos also. A person wants to squeeze out a liquid, not to get the liquid, just to discard the liquid. I want to take a can of tuna, right? So I get around opening my can, I forget how to open my can of tuna on Yom Tov or Shabbos, I figured out if that applies equally to both of them. I open my can of tuna. Now there's liquid in there, the oil or the water, etc. I want to squeeze it out. I'm allowed to squeeze it out because I'm not going to use that water. That goes directly to garbage. That's not a malacha of squeezing. There is a problem of borer involved over there. So on Shabbos, I would have a borer issue. On Yom Tov, there's no problem of borer. So on Shabbos, if I want to do it, I have to do it for immediate use. The fact that I'm using the lid of the can is not considered a kli. It's not a kli miyuchel l'kach, so as long as I use it for immediate use, the problem is I do have a problem of taking good from bad. So on Shabbos, I would have a problem theoretically with the problem of borer. But on Yom Tov, I don't have a problem with burr, because there's always a burr on Yom Tov.
How do you do it on Shabbos? You would...
In the can, I'm not sure how exactly I do it in the can. You pour the whole thing out, and then you could, if it's clear with the action is taking the food from the good from the bad, so you're taking the tuna from the liquid.
Can I squeeze it as I do it with my hand? Like, sort of like, okay, it's in the bowl, and sort of going like this, and squeeze it as I, like, okay, shake it off, and then put it in a new bowl?
How do you do it in Shabbos? I don't think so. I'm not sure of a good way to do it on Shabbos. I know there is a way. It's not coming to me right now. I don't want to answer the question. I want to think about it.
Okay.
I don't want to answer without thinking. Okay. Another example is, say, in Yom Tov, if I want to squeeze off, my latkes are too oily, I want to squeeze them. You serve me milk because I make a lasagna, it's too oily, I want to pat down and squeeze out some of the oil from there. I'm allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Right. Yes.
Can you use the idea that the derech of achila of tuna fish is not to eat it with the liquid, and therefore when you're doing it right before you're serving it and you just pour it out, not even pressing the can cover on it to squeeze it, but just to pour the liquid out, making sure that the tuna doesn't fall out of into the sink.
Well, that part would be mutter. The problem is if you want to like squeeze it or something like that. Anything which comes out easily, it's probably not a burr issue. It's like your tea bag, the tea bag issue. If I take the tea bag out of if a person made tea essence before Shabbos and didn't take out the tea bag, so they want to take out the tea bag on Shabbos, that's mutter. You can't hold it there and let it drip, because then you're doing a burr process and taking out the tea essence from the tea leaves, which I don't want. So I'm using this sifter, which is the tea bag, to facilitate the process of burr. But I just pull the thing out, throw it in the garbage. Well, I'm separating the tea bag from the water. They're two separate entities. But I'm not sure. I want to think about it. So squeezing is mutter into a food. We gave an example of squeezing of a can of those things, tuna, latkes, oil, etc. Those things will be mutter. One place where the halacha differentiates between Shabbos and Yom Tov when it comes to the halacha of schita is Chazal made an iser of mashkin shezavu. Mashkin shezavu is when the liquid comes out on its own, we can't use the liquid, because there you might come to squeeze. So if I would have a cluster of grapes sitting in a bowl, and some of the juice of the grapes collects on the bottom of the bowl, I can't drink that juice. That's mashkin, the liquid which came, because I might come to squeeze out grapes. Squeezing grapes is a malacha deraisa, squeezing out grapes. If I'd have a case where they went directly into a liquid, and there never was a moment where they were visible, I'd have I'm sure there's some fancy place to do this. They give you a thing of grape juice with grapes floating in it. So all the liquid of the grape going directly into the grape juice, that's fine. But if you have a bowl just of grapes sitting there and the liquid flows out, it's going to be a problem. An example which is very common of this is grapefruits. So you cut a grapefruit, so a certain amount of liquid comes out of the grapefruit by itself. So after you finish eating your grapefruit, you want to drink the liquid. So on Yom Tov, that's mutter. Let me rephrase that. If the reason why you bought grapefruits is in order to eat them, to serve them as food, you're allowed to drink the liquid. If you bought grapefruits, you want to make grapefruit juice, then you can't use that liquid. Because then you want the liquid as a liquid. Your goal was a liquid, so then the liquid comes out, even when it comes out by itself, you can't use that liquid. But if you bought grapefruits to eat, and I think most people do, you bought grapefruits to eat, it's not abnormal to squeeze grapefruits, but you bought them to eat. So the liquid which comes out on its own is mutter. You can't squeeze the grapefruit, can't press it to the side to get more liquid out of it. You cannot do that. The cutting is not a problem, but again, squeezing would be a problem. But if you bought it, but the liquid which came out by itself is mutter. So you can use that liquid. So that's mutter on yamtza. Okay.
But not on Shabbos?
That's a heavy question. That's machlokes on Shabbos. Okay. Molid. There's a mloch of molid, which is making new items. That's a mloch of drabonon pashas. Person wants to make ice cubes. Person wants to squeeze out ice and make water out of it. So you can't go actively. You can't actively do that. You can't squeeze out water. Take snow. Take ice. Squeeze it. You know, melt it in order to get water. You can't do that. The water which is produced by such an action, meeker than is mutter. There's a chumrah, some person say that on Shabbos you would not use the water since it was produced by this change of an item. Making ice cubes on Shabbos, so we say that if you have a mitzvah tzarech, you have a guest coming, something like that, you want to make ice cubes, you may do that on Shabbos. And you know that there's no limitation. One example of this, which is very common, is, at least for my generation, it's common, is orange juice concentrate. Right? So to actively try and make, you have your orange juice concentrate and you let it sit in it. And it comes to room temperature, fine. But to actively stir it in order to make it melt, you can't do on Shabbos. You may do that on Yom Tov. Okay. Bishul on Bishul. So obviously you can't cook on Shabbos. Cooking on Yom Tov is mutter. It's one of the obvious, that's your paradigm of the idea of Echol Nefesh. If you have a food which will taste better if you cook it beforehand. Now, most foods taste better if they're cooked fresh. See, when we have refrigerators nowadays, the person says, well, you know, I could cook it beforehand. It doesn't taste as good. Therefore, I'm allowed to cook on Yom Tov. If I want to make a fresh chicken soup, it tastes better than the chicken soup which has been in the fridge. All right, so that's not a problem. But let's say, for example, I want to cook a compote. I want to cook some dried fruit together, make a compote. Compote tastes better if it sits a day. So you can't cook it on Yom Tov because you should have done, that's something which it tastes better if you cook it before Yom Tov, or it tastes at least equal or better if you cook it before Yom Tov, so you can't cook that. Another example of something which doesn't affect the flavor, at least that's what the price can write, I'm not a big bucky in this, is they suggest it's Jell-O. The difference in the flavor of Jell-O, fresh Jell-O and Jell-O, which I don't know, they say it doesn't taste, there's no difference in the two of them. So you have to do it with a shinui. So what would the shinui be if you want to make Jell-O, if you want to make Jell-O on Yom Tov, what would the shinui be? Well, if you normally put the liquid and then you put the salad, in the liquid into the pot. If you normally put the items into the pot and then you put the pot on the fire, you'd put the pot on the fire and then put the items into the pot. That's the example that they give. Let's say a person was too busy, they didn't have time to do it before, and again, they were not required to do a shina. There is an interesting halacha by Shabbos, by Yom Tov, it comes up by Shabbos in its own way, but by Yom Tov, of ribay b'shiurim. I want to cook more than necessary. I want to cook more than I need for my meal. And it really applies to all the malachas, but we're talking about bishul. So, if by cooking more it tastes better, you put some extra meat into this stew that you're making, so it has a stronger flavor. I don't need all that meat. We're not going to eat all that meat, but it adds a stronger flavor to the stew. I put extra chicken into my chicken soup. So it tastes better because it has a stronger flavor because there's more chicken. I don't eat all that chicken. I'm not going to eat all that chicken. But it gets a better flavor. So that's not a problem at all. Let's say, however, it's not going to add any flavor to the... It's not going to add any better flavor to the item which is being cooked. So am I allowed to cook more than I need? And again, in the back of my mind, my kavanah is I'll have some for after Yom Tov, or I'll have some for the second day Yom Tov, etc. Am I allowed to do that? So the law is like this, that it is mutter with three conditions. I cannot say I'm doing it for afterwards. That's the obvious one. I cannot say that. Number one. It has to be done on one action, which means the action of cooking is I put the pot on the fire. I can't add five pieces of meat after it's on the fire already. That's a second action. I can put them all into the pot, take the pot and put it onto the fire, and that's mutter. But I can't do it in the second action, add more. And the third one is it can't be an extra amount of effort. So I want to cook chicken. I want to bake a chicken, bread a chicken. So each piece of chicken I have to bread separately, etc. I'm going to be a lot. There's a lot more involved. Even if it's one, I put it into the oven in one shot. It's one action putting it into the oven, and I bake all 10 pieces as opposed to 5 pieces at one time, right? But each action needs its own. I want to make more blintzes. I want to do something like that. With each one's going to have its own action involved. There's an extra tircha involved that I can't do. This is that it could apply to the other malachas. With the other malachas, you don't say you want to do more. I want to do more borer. I want to peel more things. But each one's going to be a separate action. So that's not going to be practical. Bishul lends itself to the fast because it's one action. I'm putting it on the fire at the same time. So Bishul lends itself to this hatter. But it applies theoretically to the other ones also. But most of them, it's just not practically. It's not practical. The place where this issue comes up on Shabbos is called Riba Bishurim, is a case where there's a hatter to do malacha for a person who's ill. And that's, you know, get involved in doing malacha for a person who's life-threatening situation. So am I allowed to do more than necessary? That's where it comes up. The issue comes up on Shabbos, and actually the halacha is that it's not permitted in that situation. But on Yom Tov, ochel nefesh is mutter, so Riba Bishurim doing extra is mutter. Another example of the issue of Riba Bishurim comes up in the halacha of Hitzah. Caring, and I want to carry. So there's no Erev, and a lot of carrying Yom Tov. So I'm carrying a pack of tissues. I need 2 tissues in shul. I want to carry the whole pack. I want these little small packs. I want to carry my key ring. So I need my house key. Well, there's also my shed key, and there's my office key, and there's, you know, no mooks, and all the mooks. I'm carrying more keys than I need, and my key ring. The example the person discussed was in the good old days was a pack of cigarettes. Baruch Hashem nowadays, I think it's, I like to believe it's less of an issue nowadays. It should be less of an issue nowadays. Hopefully it will be less of an issue nowadays. But anyway, so in a case where any of them are all usable, so I can use any of those tissues. I don't have, you know, there's no, so then I'm allowed to carry the whole package and there's not a problem. In a case where the items are not all usable, so I have a key ring, so I need the house key. I have no use for my office key on Yom Tov. There's no reason why I'm carrying my office key on Yom Tov. So Rashi says that's awesome. I'd have to take the key, the house key off of the ring, and I can, in order to be able to carry the, I can keep the ring because it's easier to lose my, I'm not going to lose my key if I have it on the ring, but I couldn't have other items on there which was, and don't have some use for Yom Tov. So that's, I mean, it's all one action of carrying, but I'm doing more malacha by carrying them all together. Some person disagree with the Rosh and say it's one action. Riba Bashurim is mutter on Yom Tov. But it's one ma'isa, it's not extra tircha, and not saying I'm doing it for something else, so Riba Bashurim is mutter. So our person, some person would say that's mutter. I don't have to take it off. Rav, that was an issue. Last issue over here, I'm going to touch on. This is, so the het of Echol Nefesh. So one of the limitations we said is something should be done before Yom Tov. One of the limitations is, it says, Hu levado yeyoseh lochem. Has to be done for you. Lochem means a Jew and not a non-Jew. Lochem means you and not an animal. So I can't do malachas on Yom Tov for the purpose of an animal. I can feed my animal, but I can't cook on Yom Tov for my animal. I can't do burr on Yom Tov for my animal. I have to burr on Yom Tov for an animal. Let's say I do burr for the purpose. If I have to do burr, I have to do, follow the rules of Shabbos would apply to for an animal. It also applies to non-Jews. Okay. Now, not only that, because I came along and they made a tekana that you can't invite a non-Jew to a meal on Yom Tov because they're afraid that you might do extra cooking for him. So he said, "Okay, can you make me a cup of coffee?" And I take that pot and I put the pot on the fire to heat up the water to make a coffee. That's a malacha deraisa. That's a person would cook on it for a non-Jew on Yom Tov. He did a nisa deraisa. On Shabbos, you may invite a non-Jew because you can't cook on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you could cook, but you can't cook for a non-Jew, so you can't invite a non-Jew for a meal on Yom Tov. It comes along the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim says that if it's going to create a tremendous limitation to your Simchas Yomtov, etc., by not having that limitation, you're allowed to invite them. But you can't do malacha for them. So they ask you for a cup of coffee. So we go back to our Rebbe Mishurim. Have a cup of coffee with them. So put your water into the pot, and put the pot on the stove, and you're cooking for yourself a cup of coffee, and for them a cup of coffee. That's not a problem. But if you're just cooking just for them a cup of coffee, that's not going to be mutter. So you have to always be careful. You may invite them in that situation, but you have to be very careful not to do a malacha specifically for them. Yes?
If they're in the process of converting?
Same thing.
Okay, so same. There's no problem with inviting people that are like in the process of converting, even though they're not Jews.
No, there is a problem.
Right.
But you have the only hatred you have is if there's a tremendous
Right, so let's say it's not tremendous, whatever, it's just like, these people that aren't yet Jewish are never going to experience Shavuos until...
It's a problem.
They're never going to have a Sukkot meal until they're Jewish?
So I'll give you another example where this issue comes up. Okay, I'm a very rich guy. I own a hotel. And I have Shavuos, a Shavuos experience in my hotel. Eretz Yisrael, you have Shavuos hotels. You have people go to for Yom Tov. They go to... So are all of the guests, whether Jewish? How are you allowed to do anything for them? So the place can say, whether the situation is you keep... Hilchos Shabbos for Yom Tov in that situation. It means everything has to be cooked beforehand. There's no cooking involved. Even you use blechs. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's Yom Tov, but you're going to...
That's what I do anyways.
What?
That's what we can
But you don't use a blech on the lochas of Shia and Chazorah on Yom Tov. You know, they mamish keep... It's dealt with as if it's Shabbos. But it is an issue. Now, let's take it a step further. The person come along and say, Machal Shabbos has a lochal like a non-Jew. A Mechal Shabbos has a locha like a non-Jew, and has the same issue. You cannot cook for them on Yom Tov. You cannot invite them on Yom Tov. This becomes a very big challenge. So again, so if it's going to diminish your Simchas Yom Tov very much because of the fact that they can't invite them, you have a relative who's not Shomer Shabbos. You let them come for a Yom Tov meal. They live nearby. There's no malacha involved, and they're not going to drive, right? And so one of them, you feel terrible if you don't invite them. And they say, never invite me. You never come over. Everybody else, I see people coming to your house. You know, so you're allowed to invite them, but you can't do malacha for them because they're Mechal Shabbos. Now, what about nowadays? The argument nowadays that our Mechal Shabbos are called Tinuk Shenishpa, right? What is that argument? A valid argument? So it's not so simple. Why is it not so simple? This is a machlokes. This is the raisa. We doing a malacha for Mechal Shabbos, a bona fide Mechal Shabbos. He doesn't like care about Shabbos. He doesn't care who's seeing him. He's Mechal Shabbos for Hestia in front of the. He sees the Rav. He doesn't care. He's doing it. He's lahachis. That's an issue the raisa to do malacha for him on Yom Tov. He has a din like a non Jew for this purpose, and the assumption is that might be that's a din the raisa. Okay. So, is he a Tinuk Shenishpa? He grew up like that. His father was conservative. His father was reform. He doesn't know any better. He assumes that there's three branches of Judaism. It's all equal to him as far as he knows, etc. Is that a valid argument? So this is a machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says, he's talking about actually the Karaites, the Karoyim. And he says that the first generation Karoyim have a din of Mechal, there's Jews who are not keeping the mitzvahs. They have a din of a mumer. The second generation have a din of a Tinuk Shenishpa. They grew up, and their father told them, listen, there's the rabbinic Judaism, and there's the Karaite Judaism. We're right, they're wrong, and it's two valid options, and we're right. So they don't know any better. They're Tinuk Shenishpa. That's what the Rambam says. The Ramban disagrees, and says, once they know, and they've been exposed and seen a Orthodox Jew, and they know there's another option, and they choose not to follow and look into it and follow it, they're no longer a Tinuk Shenishpa. So this is, the Poskim say that, Rishon Zalman itself said, this Machlokes has not been decided. You cannot rely on the argument of Tinuk Shenishpa to matter a potential issue of the raisa. So inviting them is not a problem, because it's the Rabbanan, you'll say it's Mechloikas, you may make it. But doing Melachim for them would be prohibited. So if you have a non-Frum guest in your house, so they're no longer Tinuk Shenishpa, they saw you, according to the Ramban. By definition, they're not a Tinuk Shenishpa if they're in your house, according to the Ramban. They never saw Orthodox Jew before in their life, and now that you take them off the wall and you put them down into your house on Yom Tov, they're no longer a Tinuk Shenishpa. There's another type of Judaism, according to the Ramban. So you can't do malacha for them. He asks you, can I have a cup of tea? See if you have an urn ready up, because they hate, make him a cup of tea. But don't do an aklirisha.
What happens if you already put your food on the blech to warm. Like, they come to your house, you're not allowed to give them your food that you put on the blech?
No, they're not cooking. You're not doing malacha.
Presumably on Shabbos, you wouldn't be putting it directly on the blech.
But you did it already.
So anything that you already did is fine. Yeah, I'm doing it for them.
Again,
am I allowed to invite someone knowing that I'm going to put...
That's remember, shurim is mutter. So if I put on the blech for myself, it's the same thing as putting up a pot, right? Whatever I'm doing for myself, I can do for them. The problem is, they say, I have a problem, I'm a vegan. I say, let me make you some pasta. Great, You can't make them pasta. You can make yourself pasta, and they can have some pasta also. But again, it's always, you have to be very aware of this issue. You have to be aware when you have such a situation, because there are Shabbos is a breeze compared to Yom Tov when it comes to this issue. There's no issues on Shabbos. Everything is it's the same, no difference in you and them. But on Yom Tov it becomes a real problem. It becomes a real challenge.
So, on Shabbos, like let's say if they said can I have a cup of tea, the coffee urn is on, so that's okay.
It's the same thing.
Even though you're, let's say, can I have a cup of tea, and you're making them cup of tea from the coffee urn.
Well, you're not doing the malacha bishul, because the same way you can't do it for yourself, you can't do it for them. You're not doing any malacha involved. You'll do it in a cliche, a klishishi, whatever, but you can't do it in a klirishin. Right? You wouldn't do your klirishin, put the tea bag in your klirishin.
So you're saying...
For yantav, you could do a klirishin.
For yantav, because you're allowed to do the...
Right.
You're allowed to cook.
Right.
So therefore... It's an issue.
Right. In other words, I want to make a tea on Yom Tov, so I don't. There's no problem with bishul on Yom Tov. So I can put my tea bag in the cup, put it directly under the urn, and that's bishul. I can't do it for a mekhal.
I have to drink the tea with them.
Right. I want to put in a cliche. Do something better cliche in that situation. So you're going to have halachas of Shabbos on Yom Tov. There'll be an area where you have such halachas. Okay.
I have another question.
If anybody wants to go, we can go. We have questions. Yeah.
I just have another question, just with the regard the key. You're supposed to even though there is an error, you're supposed to take the necessary thing. If you have a key, you're supposed to take only your house key, your office key. You shouldn't take because that's not necessarily Adam that you're carrying. Right?
It's much less of an issue.
Here's my question: is let's say come Friday night, you're invited out somewhere. And I forgot to separate my keys. Okay. And I need to go back home. Are we allowed to do that? Like separating the keys?
Well, any of the keys muksa, or the keys aren't muksa? No issue with muksa. You don't have your car key on there.
Let's say no car key.
So no muksa, so just take the whole ring.
Pardon?
Just take the whole ring.
I'm allowed to do it.
Right.
Okay. Like sometimes I put my kitchen keys and my struggle key and... Sometimes Friday night, like I do before,
right.
You're already dead, and they're like, oh my goodness, what am I
going to
do?
Yep. Okay.